Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
8, 7.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a brand new spanking edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am your host, the queen of soft style, ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants herself, Miranda Morales. And yes, this is my show. I have my own podcast. Wow. The world's an amazing place. I say that because you may be a new listener. So this show has been on thechairshot.com for a little, almost about a year.
I believe March was when March we did the first one.
Will be 1 year. Oh, gosh.
I think so.
That's a long time, but it has been on thechairshot.com. However, TheChairShot.com has now been incorporated into eWrestlingNews.com. So you may be a new listener. You may have been browsing eWrestling News and find a whole array of these new podcasts on your feed wondering, who the hell are these people? Well, we are who the hell these people are. That sounded a lot better in my head.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I actually thought we or who the hell these people are is hilarious. That's
yes.
Keep that in the repertoire.
I'm keeping it. You are hearing another. Yes, I'm also fondly known as the wild card of thechairshot.com.
The original wild card.
The original bitches. Wild card.
I need to next week, maybe the week after. I need to break out the long introductions for you and Patrick that each had like 10 or 11 bullet points of things that I put together. Yeah.
Yeah. All of these nicknames that I just announced, these are all nicknames. Most of them given to me by Greg, some by some.
Not all. I'm saying not all of them.
No, there's some other, names in there. Some that I forgot. I didn't even mention, Pretty Bird is also one of those, you know, that's one close to my heart. But this show, if you are a brand new listener, is, you know, as I'm trying to describe it, I'm at a loss for words because it really is that indescribable. This is a podcast about professional wrestling. Again, this was under the umbrella of thechairshot.com, which is, you know, has been a place for wrestling news, analysis, and opinions. This podcast really follows under the opinions portion of professional wrestling. And we'll get more into that in a little bit. But I do want to introduce to you, you've heard him before, probably. He has like 17 different podcasts. I don't know how he does it. He has a lot of podcasts. He says 3, but I know it's like 17. But my co-host, producer, all of that good stuff, Greg DeMarco.
That's me. That's you. I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited that this will likely be the first episode of the Hashtag Miranda Show that's going to be on E! Wrestling News, which is the new home for the Chair Shot, and also all of the podcasts that are available on thechairshot.com. If you like this show, you're in luck because there's a lot of other podcasts on there. If you don't like this show, you're in luck. There's a lot of other podcasts available. So, you know, if this is not your cup of tea, that's cool, but you can find other podcasts like the Greg DeMarco Show that we just finished recording. You also have the Badlands, Pod is War, lots of other amazing podcasts available, and even some that are non-wrestling related. We like to hype up Bandwagon Nerds, which includes one of the other co-hosts of the Greg DeMarco Show, and I now realize we're not calling that it anymore.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to wait and find the best place to slide it in there.
Yes. So going back to, if you've been a listener before, thank you for returning. God bless you. I love you.
You're welcome.
So I've been talking about the Greg DeMarco Show. That has been the show of Greg DeMarco for many, many years. But it was announced last week, actually, on this show, the Hashtag Miranda Show, that the Greg DeMarco Show was undergoing a name change. And I laughed hysterically and also was scared because the Greg DeMarco Show has gone under many names. I was in existence for one of the iterations of that when I don't even remember the other name that we called it.
I don't know either. I got to look it up.
I have it somewhere.
I don't know. Wow. I have no idea.
But we called it something else for like, I don't know, maybe a few months. A
few months and then
last year. And then we went back. And to my understanding, that's happened many times over the course of...
It hasn't happened many. It's happened a handful.
Handful.
Maybe like three or four.
Other times, but... Other times.
Overnight.
It is now called Chairshot Radio. So you can listen to Chairshot Radio on eWrestlingNews.com. It still also will be up on thechairshot.com, but we got a new home. So that's really exciting, and that's why I'm very excited. Lots of energy. And there's new people who may be listening to this show. So I thought this week people can get to know a little bit more about us, myself and Greg. This is a pro wrestling podcast, and you're wondering, what are your credentials? I mean, I have some credentials. Greg has way more credentials. He's been in this business for a lot longer. But I'm going to throw out my fan credentials. And so today Greg and I are going to be talking about, you know, what made us wrestling fans? Because I think that's one of the most interesting topics out there that fans love to discuss is, you know, what made you like wrestling and become a wrestling fan? Because for many fans, there's usually a moment or a wrestler or an event or a period of time or a show, something that hooked you in, that kept you there. The average fan or the average age of wrestling fans is actually, to my understanding, in there anywhere between the 30s and 50s. I mean, it's a pretty big age range, but a lot of people who are current wrestling fans have been fans for many, many years. And that leads to a whole lot of discussion too about, you know, changes in the industry, why wrestling companies do some of the things that they do, maybe the challenges that wrestling promotions and wrestling companies have in attracting new fans. And that happens on both the national and the local level. But it's always an interesting story as to, you know, what made you a wrestling fan. Going back to the credentials part, so I mentioned one element about me, ring announcer to the stars. I do live in the great state of Arizona, grew up here, and actually spend my time when I'm not being a wrestling fan, being a pro wrestling ring announcer and also backstage interviewer. Started my career in Albuquerque, New Mexico with Destiny Wrestling. That is my home promotion and a promotion very, very close to my heart. Relocated to Arizona about a year and a half ago and have announced for promotions such as Arizona Wrestling Federation, Rockstar Wrestling Alliance, Cactus League Wrestling, Elite Wrestling Entertainment as of recently. And I also do backstage interviewing for one said great promotion that will be having a show coming up in a few weeks. That is Impact Zone Wrestling, IZW. But I'm going to let Greg handle that rain real quick. I'm going to let him do that plug because that's his baby. That's his promotion close to his heart.
First of all, those interviews you do aren't just backstage at Impact Zone Wrestling. There was
that
one
in
the entryway and there was one in the ring.
Location of the interviews do vary, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why you got to come to these shows. You never know where I'm going to be doing an interview.
That's right.
Next time it could be in the hallway. I could be doing one in the bathroom, one in the parking lot.
Maybe.
On the side of the stage, on the turnbuckle. Who knows?
Yeah, I could see that too. Of all the options you listed, bathroom's probably least likely, though. You just never know what ideas.
The acoustics are terrible.
They really are. Yeah.
The acoustics in a bathroom, if anyone's tried. And I've seen you try, Internet.
Seen you try.
There's enough YouTube videos of people cutting promos in bathrooms that tell me different.
Oh, yeah. No, people will try. Where there's anywhere that you can use a cell phone, people have cut a wrestling promo and probably sent it to me and wondered why I didn't use it to promote the wrestling show. Anyway, she's talking about Impact Zone Wrestling. IZW returns to action Saturday night, February 22nd. The Sun Studios of Arizona in Tempe, Arizona. That is a suburb of Phoenix, Arizona. For those of you who are in or around the Phoenix area, we would love to have you there. The event is called IZW Monster. It is the biggest match of the year. 13 men, one match, one winner, one choice. Two men will begin every 3 minutes. Someone new will enter. Pinfall, submission, over the top rope. You can be eliminated. It's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. Trust me. I know the guy putting it together, and I know that it's going to be an absolute great time. Tickets are on sale. Go to IZWWrestling.com or IZWAZ or IZWWrestlingAZ on your social media. We have a couple different ticket options. We have your general admission, which of course is not front row. Kind of come in, get what's available. We have your VIP front row, which we do have available. You get to enter early. You get a free bonus match. You also get that front row seat. And then we have the VIP couches, which are an IZW staple going back to the original days at a place called The Sets, which is no longer in existence. It's now a gym in Tempe, Arizona. But that's where we used to hold IZW events every other Tuesday. And you could get those. They were called Hillbilly Couch Seats. Well, you can't get them for this one because those seats are officially sold out. However, we do still have the VIP front row seats available. And the thing about the couch seats being sold out for this show is it's probably 60 or 70% of the couch ticket holders this time are not the people who had the couch seats last time. So, come on out, check it out. We do typically sell tickets to the next show at the show. So we will have those available for you for the May event. We'll be announcing that date as we roll into February 22nd. So IZWWrestling.com, IZW presents Monster, a whole heck of a lot of fun, ending the night with a huge match, biggest match of the year, and for the price, you just can't beat it. February 22nd, come check it out. Come say hi. You'll find me somewhere behind the scenes. It'll be a lot easier to find
Lurking in the background.
I don't want to use the word lurking because I'm actually there with a purpose. But
that's true. But it's also like he's, doesn't like to be seen.
I've done that. And maybe we'll get into that. But I've been that guy. I've been the ring announcer. I've been the interviewer. I've been a manager. I've been an authority figure. But this is what I prefer. I prefer producing, putting together, promoting all that stuff. So please come check it out. It means the world to me and a lot of other people as well. Again, IZWWrestling.com. Go see it. Come join us February 22nd.
Go check it out. And also, if you're new, we're just going to be plugging our local stuff because that's just what this great state,
because why not?
United States, is all about, is your local promotions.
We are Puerto Rico. Advocates. Puerto Rico's part of those United States as a territory, as we established.
It's a territory. I had to give my little TED talk on my soapbox earlier for anyone who watched the Super Bowl halftime show and maybe some, heard some of the rumblings online. The fact, see, this is a dangerous thing. Greg just has this button board that he has, and I try to restrict it on my show. I do something called the hashtag Miranda Rights, where I read Greg his rights and essentially tell him what he can or cannot do. I've done it before where I've restricted his usage on the button bar, and
that's real
the pain
tough
on
too.
His face is real tough. It's very, hard. Very tough.
It's real tough.
So I don't try to enforce the Miranda rights too often, but it's hilarious when I do because I just make Greg do and say things that are very uncomfortable. Look, it's my show, and I have the right to do it. And also he gave me the power to do it, so really, it's all his fault.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just gonna pull the curtain back like that, let's be honest, that was my idea. Like, how stupid am I?
It wasn't all his idea.
That's true.
We took it. It was a combined idea. Of course, a man coming in trying to, you know, take claim for a woman's idea. Wow, Greg. I thought you were more progressive than that, but I guess not.
Now that it's all out of order, I can't even find things.
Upsetting. Yes. So, yes, we are big advocates of our local wrestling community, our local wrestling scene. And we hope you are wherever you are as well. You go check out your local wrestling promotions. You never know what you would see or what you can see at your local wrestling promotion. Maybe the stars of tomorrow or the stars of yesteryear. Which is usually what most of these are, somewhere in between. But it's a great way to support your local scene, have more of an impact. Lots of fans aren't always thrilled with what they see on TV with WWE, with Impact, with AEW. And sometimes by just, you know, buying a ticket for $10, $15, $20 and going to your wrestling show, you can have interactions with professional wrestlers that you would never be able to imagine behind the TV screen. And again, you may see someone there that you do see in WWE or in Impact or in AEW within the next few years. The wrestling landscape right now is beautiful where there's so many opportunities. And you know, people can actually have futures and real careers in professional wrestling because of all the companies and opportunities. So go ahead, you know, Google, Facebook, go on social media, look at, you know, what local wrestling promotions and companies are in your area and go check them out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is what it's all about. The future's now. We've never had more wrestling at our fingertips than we do today. And here's the crazy thing, right? You can watch it on TV. You can stream it online. You can also go to powerslam.tv and sign up. And we'll... whatever website you listen to this show on, whatever format, if you get it on iTunes, you get it on Google Play, iHeart, Spotify, thechairshot.com, ewrestlingnews.com, wherever you can head on over to powerslam.tv, type in that promo code chairshot, and get a free month. So you don't have to make a commitment now. You can get your free month, see if you like it. Over 6,000 hours of content, over 150 of your favorite wrestling promotions, and Combat Zone Wrestling, all available for you at powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Again, that's powerslam.tv. Promo code ChairShot. Get your free month. See if you like it. If so, stick around. If not, hey, that's okay too.
You tried.
Exactly. Yeah, you tried. That's good for
maybe
you.
Maybe not hard enough.
Maybe. Maybe not hard enough yet, but you tried. And that's really all that we can ask of people sometimes, that they try.
Aw, Puddin'.
Yeah, and neither of us are wearing a ChairShot t-shirt, but you have your own ChairShot t-shirt. If people are listening for the first time and they're like, what's this whole hashtag Miranda thing? Like, I don't understand. One of the nicknames, I don't know if you said the nickname or not, you may have, but you're also the Queen of Soft Style. And,
yes, I did mention, you know, when Queen of Soft Style.
Purchasing a wrestling t-shirt, you might want to go with a Soft Style because that's the most comfortable. And you can get yourself a Soft Style t-shirt that actually celebrates the Soft Style itself in a very unique way, Miranda.
Yes. So a little history about the Soft Style t-shirt is that I'm just a fan of Soft Style t-shirts. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And one of the great features that Pro Wrestling Tees has with all their shirts essentially is that you can order a t-shirt in any type of style you like. You have kind of the traditional style, you have unisex, you have long sleeve, tank top, but the style that speaks to my heart, the most important style, is soft style. And that means the cotton is a little bit softer. It has a softer fit to it. It's a little bit more comfortable than your average t-shirt. And, you know, I'm a big fan of luxury, you know? I live such a comfortable life, as I say this, cracking up with all my student debt because I went into education. In the small ways that
the lap of luxury in Tucson, Arizona.
In Tucson. Hey, good cost of living here, okay? So cut me a break. I just fell in love with the Soft Style t-shirt that I was bestowed the nickname Queen of Soft Style. Of course, after to, you know, the nickname or the moniker of Shinsuke Nakamura was the king of strong style. I mean, there has to be a soft style as well. So I'm the yin to that yang. But as I mentioned, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There you can find over 15 different varieties of t-shirts on the support of thechairshot.com. Of course, there's the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt, but there's also a lot of other fun t-shirts. There is a #save tag team wrestling shirt. There are shirts all with the Chairshot moniker of Use Your Head. Chairshot has lots of its own t-shirts, including Chairshot 316, the OG, which I call the OG, which is the original Chairshot logo. Suck It Nerds, which is, you know, if you just love to just give people crap, Suck It Nerds is a great one. And one of my personal favorites is the Baron Corbin Sucks t-shirt, because it just doesn't go out of style. You can literally wear that 20 years from now and it's still going to be relevant. So if you're looking for a good investment in your future with clothing, that's one I highly, highly recommend. But again, all of them available in the soft style. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
You know, one thing I haven't revealed yet, and for some reason we like to reveal things on your show and not on mine, is as things progress with the brand and as we move to e-wrestling news and coming up with different ways, the Chairshot brand is not going anywhere. That's been a big part of this transition. And one of the things that we want to start doing more of is actually working with some different people who put together t-shirt designs and release more unique designs for the Chairshot brand over at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. So we're looking at, I don't know, maybe started in March and not 100% sure yet, one to do new designs per month that will be unique and fun and, you know, good conversation starters, great to wear to wrestling shows, all as part of the Chairshot brand as we continue to figure out exactly how we want to move that forward in this new world. So, yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere.
Luckily for you guys, that means more t-shirts to come.
In soft style. Closet.
And of course in soft style. Of course in soft style. Because there would be a riot for me if there wasn't. You know what the funny part is, though? I do have my own t-shirt. I did purchase my own t-shirt. I accidentally purchased it in a tank top style instead of soft style.
Really?
I did it by complete accident. I did not realize it until after the order processed and came through. So it's still great. It's still comfortable to wear, but I'm going to have to get another version.
So
of you have t-shirt.
So the one t-shirt you have that's not in soft style is the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt.
I also have another. I have the Use Your Head t-shirt in the women's fit that is not in soft style as well. So I have two soft style t-shirts, two non-soft style t-shirts. Okay. But I do have to get my own shirt in the soft style.
That makes
sense.
So
that's just more money that Pro Wrestling Tees will get from me.
Yeah.
But that's okay because, hey, it's all in support of the Chairshot and it's also in support of me. so I have to support myself.
Which you do. It's 2020 progressive woman.
It's 2020. That's how we do it. Exactly. So it's so been, now what, that it's like
25 minutes into the 25 show. Minutes,
and I did tell you this show can be hard to describe, but it is about pro wrestling. So I do want to get into the topic of what got us into pro wrestling, whether it was a moment, a wrestler, things like that. So I'll get started because I get this question a lot. So before I was a ring announcer and an interviewer, I was a wrestling fan. I started at the age of 10. And I think too, for women, we especially get this question a lot because wrestling is just not something you find a lot of women are interested in or also have been fans of for a long period of time. There has been this new rush of new female fans, I believe due to the reality era of professional wrestling. There's a lot of crossover appeal now with the women's division. You have shows like Total Divas and Total Bellas that have kind of exposed, especially WWE's women's division. And then also I think social media has been played a big part in it too. A lot of wrestlers now, especially female wrestlers, have almost fallen into this influencer category where it's not just also about their wrestling, but it's about what they're wearing, their workout routines and those things. And that's also kind of a big crossover appeal for women as well. Many of them have their own channels. So it's a really interesting, cool way to bring in a new fan base. But I was a fan before all of that. I'm not going to reveal my age, but you could probably do the math. If you do the math, you know, then you probably, you know, just deserve to put it all together. So I was 10 years old and I grew up in the heart of the Attitude Era. So I started watching in probably towards the end or middle of 98. And I say, or actually probably, yeah, about 98. And I don't remember the exact time frame, but I do remember the exact moment. So actually, it first started to came about when I first caught WCW Nitro. So I know I just said Attitude Era, but I want to go in order and how this all happened. Because I was one of those kids who got caught up in the Monday Night Wars. So I first started to watch Nitro because Nitro aired first. It was 3 hours long. So I caught that first hour of Nitro before Raw ever came on. And I didn't even know Raw existed at first. And I really got interested in Nitro because I was just really interested in the theme of professional wrestling. I, at that point, was a tomboy, so I wasn't very girly. I played sports. I hung around with guys a lot. So at that point, I was just more interested in the physicality part of it, but I also then grew to really enjoy the storylines. And in that time frame, I really remember the NWO storyline dominating WCW Nitro. And really the NWO dominating most of the episodes of Nitro, coming in with the, at this point too, I think they were rolling like a 30 pack of people in the NWO. This was when they had already started to really, really branch out. But also seeing kind of the mayhem and the destruction that they would have on a weekly basis with the rest of the roster. And that was just a fascinating storyline to me because at that point, you know, the NWO was a big powerhouse. And it felt like the rest of the WCW roster was being held hostage. I didn't quite pick up on the cockiness of it all. As I got older and evaluating it, it really just now I could see more of how it was a big ego trip for Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash. But as a kid, you know, you look at things with a different lens because it's larger than life. So that storyline really drew me into Nitro. But only for a short amount of time, several weeks after I started watching Nitro, I found out about Raw. I flipped the channels one day and saw this other wrestling program and thought, oh, wow, this looks cool. And I liked a little bit more of the edginess of Raw. I thought that, Even though WCW Nitro was interesting and the NWO storyline was interesting, there was a lot of other gimmicky things. I felt like that was really the only serious thing outside of the pure wrestling that did happen primarily through the cruiserweights. That was really intriguing for me. But one thing that's been consistent throughout my fandom in pro wrestling is that I've been very much more of a lover of storytelling and storylines than the technicality of wrestling. And not to mean that I don't like watching the actual wrestling, but I'm always more drawn to a story, to a program by who's in the ring, what's their dynamic, what story are they trying to tell, than the mechanics of the wrestling. And still to this day, that's been my forte. But going back to Raw, I felt like there was an edginess to Raw that drew me in more as a young fan. And I ended up really shifting more of my fandom to Raw. I would watch that first hour of Nitro, but as soon as Raw came on, I would switch over. And I mean, my Mount Rushmore of the Attitude era, and I guess there's four, so I'll have to figure out a fourth. I could say the fourth. So, were Stone Cold, Mick Foley, The Rock, and Triple H. Those were the people that really got me hooked. And I would throw Shawn Michaels in there initially, because also during this time frame, this was headed towards WrestleMania 14. So I think I caught the tail end of this. I guess it was 97. Oh, this is going to bother me as far as the particular dates. But I started really watching in January when Austin won the Royal Rumble. So this is 98. Okay. And then into WrestleMania 14. Watching that was that whole storytelling to me really drew me in, with the addition of Mike Tyson in as a special enforcer, DX being this kind of wild card factor, not really knowing what was going to happen. It just, the whole story drew me in. I was fascinated by Stone Cold Steve Austin. I thought the attitude that he projected, his ability to not give a fuck, like that was awesome to me as a kid. And then watching through WrestleMania 14 and when he won, one of my favorite memories actually is the Raw after WrestleMania 14. I distinctly remember that because that was a shift. And even as a kid, realizing that that was a paradigm shift for WWE, with Austin now being the new champion, Shawn Michaels out, Triple H now leading and reforming DX, I knew something was special. I knew something was happening during that time frame, and I picked it up even as a kid. And to know kind of the implications that it had for the rest of that year and for the Attitude Era, to me, that really felt like the launching point when things really, really changed. I thought everything else that the Attitude Era brought, with the craziness of stories and characters, all the iterations of Goldust, God knows. I mean, he went through such a transformation in and out of that time frame. I like to joke around that I grew up in an era where the Godfather had a hoe train and brought hoes to the ring.
Sure did.
And I still turned out to be a productive member of society. Sable, I mean, I truly don't think she gets the credit that she deserves sometimes of being such a pinnacle of the Attitude Era. You know, she brought in so much viewership and so much attention to the company. And she was involved in some pretty, big moments. And at that time, that was, how women were able to contribute to the company. Very different now, but one of my favorite, I mean, she was pure babyface, and I loved it. The story they told with her and Mark Merrow and Jacqueline, I was entranced by it, because you saw this woman coming out of her shell, getting away from, someone who didn't believe in her, and trying to throw everything up against her, to become, coming into her own and believing in herself. And that's probably an oversimplified version of it, but that's how it came to me. So that was a lot of what drew me into wrestling, in the 90s, was the storytelling, a bit of the craziness. But ultimately I think that still is a testament to me as a fan today. So that was a lot. So, Greg, I'm really interested in your perspective and your viewership, because I know it's in a different timeline than mine.
It is, yeah, it's like you're really interested in something you already know about. But yes. That's, you know, pull the curtain back a little bit. So I first discovered pro wrestling literally sitting on the couch next to my dad on Long Island, New York, watching it on the MSG Network. They would show the Madison Square Garden shows. That's the first one that I ever saw. Really got into wrestling right around the time of the first WrestleMania. So I can literally count how long I've been watching wrestling by the WrestleMania. So I was super young when I first started watching it. Because like right around the first WrestleMania. So I probably end up adding a year on to how long I've been watching wrestling, because I definitely wasn't watching for a year by the time the first WrestleMania hit, but it's easy. It's convenient. So I'm going to do it.
Yeah, and numbers.
Just because, yeah, exactly. And so that means we're coming up on year 36 of me watching this crazy, crazy business. And it was, for me, it definitely was something that just captured, you know, my attention early on. It was just so different than anything I'd ever seen before. It's like, some, you know, the first time you see wrestling, people tend to have one or two reactions. They're either like, okay, this is stupid, or you see wrestling for the first time and you're like, what is this? And you're just hooked for life. Like, that's literally how it works for most people, and that tends to be how they stay and for a long period of time. The first wrestler I got into because of that, you could probably guess, would be none other than Hulk Hogan, who people love to hate today. But as a kid, I definitely was drawn to that. However, when Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff turned on Hulk Hogan between WrestleMania 2 and WrestleMania 3, I actually sided with the bad guy at the time, because I didn't know what a heel was back then. And so from there, kind of my fandom went in different directions. As I went through, I actually was really talented in the area of drafting for some reason. Like, I took all these drafting classes in high school and all that stuff. And so I would literally draft up, like, arena setups and all this other stuff, just, like, for fun. And my mom probably still has some of that stuff, and it'd be insane to see. And so that kind of led me into an interest in not just watching wrestling, but how it happens. So I literally put together my first ever wrestling show. It wasn't real. It was for a school project in middle school. So we joke now that promote shows. In my brain, I promoted my first show. It never actually happened. In the sixth grade. And I literally remember calling the Richmond Center, which is a convention center, and finding out how much it would cost to rent the place to hold a wrestling show. They answered my question. I think it was $500. I don't remember. But I could only imagine what the person on the other end of the line thought and what they, you know, where they were. Interesting story that I haven't told, as we've talked about this topic before. So as a kid, I used to go to, my first ever independent wrestling experience was with a company called the Virginia Wrestling Association. I grew up, at that point I was living in Virginia, and we would go to the VWA shows, and Lightning Lehigh was the name of a wrestler, and he was also the promoter, and somehow you figured out that he was the promoter. I don't know how we put two and two together as a middle schooler. But I literally remember finding this guy's phone number in the phone book and calling him and talking to him about wrestling as a kid. And he talked to me. I don't even remember how long it was. In my brain, it was probably like an hour and a half. It was probably 10 minutes. But it was, you know, I remember having that experience. Nowadays, I just get messages from one kid about on Facebook all the time about wrestling. And I'm nice enough to reply because he's a good kid. And he deserves it. But he also will never pay for a wrestling show that I put on. But that's just my own personal, see, I'm actually a good person.
Giving back to the business. That's right. It's a tradition.
It is. The business owes you nothing. So I kind of had that in me, but I went through middle school and really just went along, but I want to reverse a little bit. So about a year after, so into my second year as a fan, I was just flipping through channels and came across another wrestling product where the ropes weren't red, white, and blue. They were black. And there wasn't this huge arena. It was a small studio. And I had no idea what was going on. And it was the NWA on TBS. And it was totally different. I mean, because back then, WWF was all about cartoon characters. And it was all about good prevailing over evil. And I'm watching the NWA, and I was like, wait, why are the bad guys winning? Like, this is interesting to me. And of course, you had the Four Horsemen. And the crazy thing about the Four Horsemen was they were heels, but they had their fans. And that was my first experience to really seeing a bunch of people root for the bad guys, and because they love the Horsemen, they wanted to be associated with the Horsemen. The Horsemen were kind of the first ever cool heels, except they didn't try to be cool heels. The fans just bestowed that upon them. They were still, you know, cheating to win and not dominating and all that stuff. Just scratch my back while I'm on the air. It's kind of funny. And
way to be professional,
dude. Shit, back itches. You got to scratch it. And I remember watching that and just completely getting sucked in. So now you had two completely different products, almost just two different worlds. And they were constantly competing. And then that's shortly after that is when I discovered my first ever wrestling magazine, which was just insane, like reading about this stuff. And that's when you kind of got a hint of terminology, like babyface and heel. Like the first time I ever saw babyface and heel, I was just like, whoa. I mean, at that point, I knew what was going on. I'd figured that out, but I didn't know any of the backstage stuff. And so you see some of it and you kind of get into all that and everything and just kind of went through that fandom and was always interested in the how it worked and how it happened and would always try to somehow work my way into it. Like I said, when I was in middle school, I called a wrestling promoter and had a phone conversation with him. And just trying to learn about the business. And I remember talking about, like, number of matches on a card and stuff like that and people being available and not available. And this guy was very forthcoming for some crazy reason. I don't know. Who knows?
It's a crazy time. Maybe you were so professional he thought you were serious.
Probably not. But, you know, fast forward to 2006, and I was moving from Arizona. I was moving from Connecticut back to Arizona, and I'd gotten into Ring of Honor heavily, and I had really gotten back into independent wrestling. And moving back out here, I decided I wanted to get involved. And so I looked up the promotions that were out here and found IZW at the time, and a company called Rising Phoenix Wrestling. And I reached out to both and actually never heard back from IZW, which is real ironic now.
Because you help run that show. So that's a lesson to you now all. It's
basically mine.
This is key.
It's basically mine now, and they wouldn't even reply to my message. So I started ring announcing for Rising Phoenix Wrestling. And the funny thing about that was I was going to come out and help, and I met out with them actually at an IZW show. And before the IZW show, the ring announcer who was ring announcing for both shows informed them that he couldn't ring announce for IZW or for RPW anymore. They needed a ring announcer. So they turned to me. New guy, can you ring announce? Sure, I can ring announce. Yeah, you have experience? Yeah, yep, done it before. Never done it before. Lied my way in completely.
Lesson number one, you know, maybe not all lessons in wrestling because you should get formally trained in rules outside of this. Like, please. If you are trying to be a professional wrestler,
get trained.
Go and get some proper training. But in other roles, such as ring announcing or interviewing, not necessary to, you know, managing. Not necessary to have training. So
yeah, well, even managing probably some training, because if you know what you're watching, you can tell when a manager hasn't been trained. You'll notice the best managers tend to stay in one spot. The ones that haven't been trained are all over the ringside area. Just little things like that. The ones that haven't been trained, trying to put themselves over. The ones that are trained or focused on their talent. There's just a lot of different things. But I got involved, and you know, it becomes about availability. It's often said the best ability is availability, especially in professional wrestling. And you just start being there, and ring announcing becomes interviewing, and it becomes bigger shows. And then it becomes, I don't know what to do. Do you have any ideas? And you pitch a couple of ideas, and now you're helping book a show. And then the main person who's booking a show is traveling too much, and the person they left in charge has no idea what to do. And you send him an email. Hey, I got some ideas for the show. And that's the whole show. The next show you go to is the email that you sent. And you do that for a few weeks to the point where somebody has a question, and they're like, I don't know, go ask Greg. He wrote it. And next thing you know, everybody's like, oh, you're the booker now. And so you just start being in charge.
It's a progression, yes.
It's an
interesting web.
And then WrestleMania comes to town and in Phoenix, Arizona. We're just going to tell us like a story now. And it's like October of the year of, you know, the October before WrestleMania. And there's still nothing announced for Phoenix, Arizona for Ring of Honor for WrestleMania weekend. At this point, WrestleMania weekend was a huge thing for Ring of Honor. So just like I, you know, called up the Virginia Wrestling Association promoter in middle school, I sent an email off to the president of Ring of Honor, the owner of Ring of Honor, that was like, hey, you haven't announced anything. I wanted to seem like I was bigger than I was. So I was like, we can help you. Really, I was just talking about me. But we can help you, right?
The royal we.
Yeah. Like 24 hours later, I get an email from, not from him, but from the executive vice president of the company, and which is really funny because he didn't bother deleting anything out of the email, so he forwards the email that the president sent to him, and all it says was like, we don't have anything set there, so it's worth a shot. And next thing you know, like a week later, this guy's flying out here because we've secured a building, and I'm helping run two Ring of Honor shows out here in Phoenix, Arizona. At that point, I was hooked on what would eventually become promoting, producing, all of that stuff. Like, I had no desire to ever ring announce again, to ever conduct an interview again. When I saw a somewhat major show, especially at the time, from the backstage production side of things, man, I had just like discovered what I wanted to do. And which is really funny too, because they actually said, hey, would you want to come work for us? And I was just like, A, you're in Pennsylvania and I'm in Arizona. B, you're probably going to go under. So no. And those things actually happened. Had I taken them up on that, I probably wouldn't be working there today because they got bought out and fired most everybody.
Well, and you bring up a good something interesting that happens with people who get into professional wrestling on a local level or a national level is that evolution of the fandom into their role. And I think that's something also that I have to just be honest, I struggle with sometimes, is finding that balance between being a fan and, you know, what that role looks like as an interviewer or announcer. Because those are two separate things. They fuel each other. They can help influence each other. But it's also two separate things. And sometimes it can feel like you know too much information to enjoy something, but also that you know enough information to know maybe where they're going with this or what's the motivation behind a particular match or a role or something where you can appreciate it more than if you were a fan. But I think it's a big, balancing act. I don't know in your experience if you felt that way too, but I know for me, it's almost, you know, switching caps or lenses sometimes. There's the pure fan perspective, but then also the professional perspective.
It is, it's very tough to be a fan once you've seen the other side and been involved in the other side. And but it also gives you a greater appreciation, and I'll explain that a little bit because I know it might be confusing for someone. When you're in charge of actually putting a show on, I mean, when you're in charge of making sure people get paid, when you're in charge of somebody giving you a budget and you're trying to break even, when you're in charge of getting fans to come back in the future, you have a total different approach. It's not just about what you like and what you want to see. And that changes how you watch the product, because now I can watch the product and I can see a decision that the WWE makes. And people will be like, oh my God, that was terrible, whatever. And you're just like, no, I get it. I get why they did that, you know, and I get why they keep going to Saudi Arabia, and I get why they're doing this and that. And you know, and you know, on the Greg DeMarco show, we were talking about Braun Strowman, or excuse me, on Chair Shot Radio, we were talking about Braun Strowman, and, you know, he became the Intercontinental Champion. And we did some odds on whether or not he'll be the Intercontinental Champion by the end of WrestleMania, and I was the one who said yes, the highest, because I think they put the title on him so they can have that Braun Strowman WrestleMania win, like they did with Finn Balor last year, where they had the Demon come out and squash Bobby Lashley just to get the Demon on the card. And I think this was done just to get Braun Strowman on the card. And it's just interesting to me how I look at most decisions that are made from a different side. And what that really translates into is it's harder to turn me back into a fan, so to speak, and to really get me look at the product as a fan. And that's why when those things happen, like, I latch onto them as a fan. Like, we joke about a soundbite that I love to play on this show. But the reason why I play it when I play it is because this person has the ability to turn me back into a fan. And that's where the man crush 7 days a week and the eighth day, that is Adam Cole Day, Bay Bay, or maybe it's Bay Bay Day. I don't know, but
oh,
there you go.
Damn, a new day.
But
and
to
on
have
the eighth day,
bay, on the eighth bay, day, bay. They said Bay Bay, and they put up a wrestling ring. And Adam Cole made his debut. But it's when someone can cause you to go back and be a fan again, that is special. And that's a special talent. And that's something that you just can't teach. You just can't really put a price tag on. And it also proves that I'll always be a fan somehow. And you should never lose that. And that will always influence what I do behind the scenes. And it'll always influence how I watch and how I watch other people grow and develop in their roles, like you and like many others. But it's heavily influenced. Like, I can't watch it like I did in the Attitude Era or before or even after. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, from 2006 to 2010 was this weird transition phase where I was learning, you know, so much about the business. And after 2010 happened, after I ran those two shows with Ring of Honor, I was done as what you would consider a normal fan at that point. Like, I just couldn't be the normal fan again because it wouldn't have worked, you know? It just wasn't possible anymore. I knew too much, and I just saw too much, and I saw, you know, how people interact backstage. I saw who was really an asshole and who was really a nice person and who seemed clueless, but yet they were so over. Like there was one individual who was the most clueless individual at that Ring of Honor show. Like, couldn't put one foot in front of the other to save their life. Now Sami Zayn is a huge star in WWE. Like, I remember picking up a van full of wrestlers because Adam Pearce was like, we need somebody to go get the rest of the talent. And they were like, where's Greg? And so we go to the hotel, we pick up the talent. We had to stop so they could go to the store. And everyone's unloading off the van. And like the second to last person who gets off this van is a skinny dude wearing glasses with a head full of red hair and like a rugby shirt on. And I looked at Patrick O'Dowd, who was with me, and I was like, who's that? And all these people are getting off, the Briscoes, Rocky Romero, Steve Corino was there at the time. And I was like, who's that? He looks at me and he's like, it's El Generico. And I was like, oh my goodness, are you serious? Like, literally, he could have gone anywhere. Back in the 80s, like, you had to look like a pro wrestler, and you had to, you know, if you're walking through the airport, you could spot the pro wrestler from a mile away. This guy was not a pro wrestler from that stage, but he was one of the most over guys on those two cards that Ring of Honor ran in Phoenix. But it just changes so much, and that's just another example of how much things change and how you just see things from a different perspective that most people don't get to see. And it changes you. It honestly changes you. Like, you've seen things as a ring announcer and banging backstage and producing things, because, you know, one of the accolades you didn't list was the fact that somebody has actually put you in charge of things and had you produce things. I don't know why that person would do that, but they did. And it's actually gone really well.
Done. That's
exactly.
What.
And because you've done it better.
We get shit done.
Because you've done it better than the person who put you in charge of whatever could, and that's me. But the thing is, it's like, it just changes how you watch it. And so the question you asked that spawned this whole thing about, you know, that experience and what it's done for you, like, it is a deeper multi-layered question than people probably thought when you first asked it, because it literally, like, I would imagine a football coach of an NFL team sitting down to watch an NFL football game is nothing like you or I sitting down to watch an NFL football game. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is when, you know, when I watch wrestling. It's just totally different. And it'll never be the same again. Never. If I stopped and never did it, I never record another podcast, never wrote another article, because I haven't talked about that, never put on another wrestling show, never helped with a wrestling show, never did anything, I still could never watch wrestling the same again. Yeah. It's the truth.
But I think that's what makes the wrestling experience very unique, is the fact that in comparison with other sports, yes, you'd mentioned, you know, you may have former coaches, former players watch a game. But I think in professional wrestling, there's so many other roles that you can have that there's probably a majority of fans out there who are wrestling fans that have had some role in their local promotion or even at a larger level. So you have a lot of those perspectives out there. I think it does make you have a unique perspective from a regular fan. And that's also where a lot of discourse online can happen, is also, you know, between people who are just primarily fans and maybe have never had a backstage role or a different role within a promotion, to someone who knows a little bit more behind the scenes and understanding that. And that clashes a lot. And I think that's what I see a lot online, or even people, you know, from, you know, news sites and media sources and all that. there's a lot of different perspectives in professional wrestling in this fandom that it can cause discourse. It can cause also a lot of unity, and we don't get to see that as often, but we are in a very niche fan base, a fan base that can also be isolating, because then you have people coming up one way or another, telling you one thing or asking some random ass questions about being a pro wrestling fan. You know, oh, well, that stuff's fake anyways. Don't you know it's fake? You know, how can you watch that stuff? Whatever the logic may be. And automatically it's, you know, it's a defense, you know, we're in defense mode. We're already coming up with all the 20 reasons why this person's full of shit. Or how, what am I going to say back to be like, well, you know, you watch movies and TV shows or whatever, you know, stuff you watch, or whatever the case may be. But it's an interesting thing in this fan base where we can very easily attack each other when it comes to opinions, but also kind of unite when we do feel attacked by outsiders that for one reason or another criticize or ridicule being a professional wrestling fan. And I would hope that for the most part we're more civil and supportive of each other's fandom, but I think understanding where we're all coming from is the first step. Knowing that fandoms come from different points of time and different perspectives. You know, I think a lot of older fans now who did grow up in my era have their opinions about the state of professional wrestling, just like fans from your perspective and in your point of time have their own opinions as to what's wrong with the product and what can be fixed or why aren't they doing this. I think there's a lot more of that, but it's also because we grew up in very different periods of time. I don't know if I would have been enthralled by watching wrestling in your period. And I know you mentioned, you know, by the time the Attitude Era hit, you had already known too much about professional wrestling where it was hard to take it seriously. So that's something I hope as fans, we can all try and just look at things from a slightly different perspective. Next time we hear someone kind of criticize or make fun or whatever it is about professional wrestling, trying to learn more about how did you become a fan? What, at what point in this whole, you know, 100 plus years of wrestling history did you come in? Because that's a really big indicator of what you know about wrestling, what's your comfort zone, and you know, what's your perspective on good wrestling. Because we all wear nostalgia clever glasses. The period that we get into pro wrestling is the best period. That's why, you know, some people really love the 80s or the early 90s or the Attitude Era or even, you know, ruthless aggression, or even now, you know, there's going to be kids who get into wrestling now that 10, 15 years from now are telling others about the reality era was this best period of wrestling. And we all know it's not, but whatever, you know, rose colored glasses. But that was kind of my point in some of this as well, is hopefully to bring not civility, because, you know, I'm not here to tell people what to do. I just try and provide a different perspective to get us thinking about, you know, where we're all coming from. But I love this quote from Tommy Dreamer, who said this to us as, you know, peeling behind the curtain. He was at a Destiny Wrestling show. One of my favorite shows I was ever a part of was because he was there and he took the time afterwards to talk with everyone backstage about the history and tradition of wrestling and supporting each other. And one thing I remember him saying is, and he said it publicly as well, but wrestling is this big dysfunctional family. And we are bonded by this experience by professional wrestling, whether it's working together in promotions or as fans. And being as part of this dysfunctional family, we have to support each other. And part of that comes from understanding, you know, where we're coming from with being a fan and what that means to us. And instead of breaking people down and belittling people because of their opinions, trying to understand where they're coming from. Not always agreeing. Absolutely not. That's, you know, people don't have to agree with each other's opinions, but understanding maybe where that individual is coming from and their experience and exposure to pro wrestling. And we live in a wonderful time now where we have so many options. We talked about NWA, you know, they're back with, you know, NWA Power. And I had the ability to go watch that taping live back in late September, early October of last year. That was my first NWA experience. I grew up on the West Coast in a small little town called Yuma, Arizona. If that sounds familiar, that's also where Cain Velasquez is from. So Yuma just produces some hard ass people. So don't mess with us. That's really also why I plugged that. Do not mess with us. And I mean collectively us, because we some hard people. But I grew up, you know, watching wrestling in Arizona in the 90s. So I had no exposure to NWA whatsoever until just, you know, 6 months ago. So that also gives me an appreciation now as an older fan of learning more about wrestling and exploring other wrestling companies and promotions that I just didn't know existed or never had the opportunity to view in person. So take that into consideration next time you are talking with someone, or just ask, you know, at a live event or on a conversation online, what got you into wrestling? We would love to know. You can reach out to me on social media. I'm on Facebook and Instagram at the hashtag Miranda. Feel free to leave a comment or your story as to how did you get into pro wrestling? Any moments, people, experiences that got you into professional wrestling? You can find Greg on social media. You can tell him. I'm not sure if he's going to respond. He's at Chairshot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And also you can follow the Chair Shot again. Chair Shot has not gone away. It's just moved to a bigger house, at, the Chair Shot. I'm trying to remember if that's the same.
The Chair Shot.com.
Yes.
The Chair Shot.com.
The Chair Shot.com on, again, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can follow there, and share your thoughts and feedback as to when you became a professional wrestling fan. Again, love to hear it, because that's the beauty of being a fan, is being able to share all of these experiences, being able to share your stories, because we are part of this dysfunctional family, so we might as well figure out a way to get along.
I mean, we should. I don't know if we will. But again, that comes from any perspective being spoiled by being backstage. So
yes, yeah. Greg is a little bit of a pessimist, which I get. You know, he's been around wrestling.
Am I a pessimist?
No.
Maybe I am.
Well, I mean, that was a pessimistic thought.
Yeah, it was half joking. Half joking.
That's like 70. Are we playing odds makers? How percentage of how much that was a joke? Because I really feel like that was not half. It was way above half.
It probably was more than half of a joke. It was definitely a joke.
Very, very. No, not so much a joke. But I digress. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of this edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. Again, if you are a new listener who is listening through a new form, whether it's eWrestlingNews.com, maybe you found this on iTunes, on Spotify. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you join us again. We will be back next week with some more randomness, but more importantly, with some more pro wrestling news, opinions, and analysis. Big emphasis on opinions, because I'm just, that's what we do. I'm not here to try to be, you know, any kind of fancy journalist here. I just a girl sharing her thoughts on pro wrestling. It's that simple. It's really, really the tagline of this. But follow us on social media. Let us know your thoughts, and hope you join us again next week.